Moncrief on News Talk.
Time now for So You Think You're an Adult. Barbara Scully and new boy Tom Donnelly are here with us to solve every conceivable problem you could have. Good afternoon to you all.
Hello there.
Afternoon, Sean.
I'm a woman in my mid-30s. I've always had a very controlling and critical relationship with my mother. Growing up, any independence or ambition was discouraged. And even now, as an adult, she questions my decisions and often assumes there's something wrong with me if I do something she doesn't agree with. I don't see what's unusual about any of that so far. Recently, I left a long-term job because I was unhappy. But instead of support, I've been met with suspicion, invasive questions and criticism. She also involves my siblings, which makes it harder to manage. I find the only way to keep the peace is to tell her very little about my life. But then I feel guilty and pulled back in. I don't feel I can talk to her honestly because she turns it into conflict or I'm dismissed. I told her at Christmas I'm learning to drive. Now all I'm hearing is how dangerous the roads are. I mentioned not having a car and she said, I never stopped you from having a car, but I feel like she stopped me from everything in life. How do I set boundaries and live my own life confidently without being constantly affected by her judgment or the pressure from my family?
I thought this letter was kind of really sad. Mm. I think that line there towards the end where she's talking about getting the car and she said, my mother stopped me from everything in life. Like, that's very sad. You know, but
has she? She doesn't give an example.
Yeah, she doesn't give an example. Yeah. But, I don't know. It just sounds like from what we know, and obviously we're only hearing from one side. What we know, it sounds like that the mother is, and I know this kind of can seem like a cliche and a kind of catch-all, but it sounds like the mother is a very unhappy woman.
Yeah.
And she seems to be directing her unhappiness at this daughter, making her feel like uncomfortable and unhappy as well. And that's an awful shame. But again, you know, the more you talk to people, the more you realise there's no guarantee in life that you're going to have a good relationship with anybody in particular that you're related to, your mother, your father, your siblings, whatever. And I suggest to this woman, you know, again, I don't know about the mother's background, et cetera, et cetera. But she can't fix her mother. And from this woman who's written to us, from her perspective, her first priority and her first responsibility is to herself and, you know, to mind her own mental health. So from that point of view, I don't think she should like completely ghost the mother, but I think she should certainly limit her exposure to her mother. Now, I get the impression that she's the only child and maybe the other siblings are all busy with families and stuff like that. So it falls to her to perhaps visit the mother more often.
Hmm.
But I think that as well as limiting that exposure, not going maybe as often as she goes at the moment, she should also try and change her mindset so that when the mother starts spewing this kind of nonsense, like I never stopped you having a car and criticizing her job or her leaving her job or whatever else she's criticizing, she's got to just let that wash off her and go, it doesn't mean anything. Just let it wash off her. My mother's, you know, mad in the head, not right, not happy, whatever, and try and let it wash off her. You can't, I wouldn't suggest that she completely cuts all ties with her because it sounds like from the little bit, again, she's told us that she's doing all right in life, you know, and she seems to be quite happy with everything else. She hasn't told us if she gets on with her siblings because I think there's a lot of them. But I'm assuming then that she does. So all I can tell her, all I can offer is limit your exposure to your mother. And when you are there, just let what she says just wash over. Don't argue. Don't try and defend yourself. Just go, yeah, whatever. You know, and don't get involved and don't engage with it.
Don't we think there's one critical issue here? The listener has told us she's done something that every traditional Irish mammy will go crazy about.
Well, no, be very careful she's, about the traditional Irish mammy.
But she has quit the good stable.
This will be Tom's last appearance.
Triggering. Oh, yeah, I get triggered over here with that word, Irish
she
mammy.
She left the good long-term stable job. She has done the very thing that sets the heart racing inside. And I'm reading between the lines here. I think this is a very traditional, probably older kind of mum. Even the inconsistencies of, on the one hand, geez, you don't want to be driving a car, you'll get killed. And then on the other hand, oh, sure, I never told you not to drive.
Now, I'm going to stop.
That sounds familiar to a milk-bred country boy like me. You know?
Oh, okay.
I know this mum.
Okay, I would just roll back a little bit on the mammy because I had a daddy who wanted me to have a good, and God, he was right when I think back. He wanted me to go into the civil service and have a steady pensionable job for life, which at when you're 18, leaving school, that sounded like a death sentence. And I went into the travel business, which was one step above kind of parading around Merrion Square or Leeson Street or wherever, in his eyes. So I don't always think that age makes you go a bit bananas in the head. And I don't also think that this is something that just mammies do.
I accept that. But something happened here, and I think it's a very good example. She made a big choice in her life, totally hers to make. I think I agree with her. If you're unhappy in your job, that's the right thing. But she went in and had to explain that to her parents and or to her mother in particular. And she got a reaction. Now, that reaction might be unpleasant, but don't you have to kind of prepare yourself for a reaction? Mm. The question is, if you've had a lifetime of this, it's just, it's another chink.
It's the straw
that it
kind
feels
of
like
breaking the camel's back.
This is the straw.
So do you think maybe she's super sensitive in a way that she's too sensitive to what the mother's opinions are about, whether it's the job or learning to drive?
So this is what I wondered here. At the end of it, the listener asks us, how do I set boundaries and live my own life confidently? That suggests to me that a lifetime of nitpicking, that lifetime of negativity, that lifetime of intrusion has left her without that confidence. Mm. And that's what she needs. And it certainly doesn't seem like this mum is helping. And if, as the letter suggests, there's kind of ganging up within the family, there are people who are not on my side, that can leave you fairly isolated within a family.
Yeah, I'd like to know that bit. She involves my siblings. How do the siblings get on with
the
mother?
That's what we
Have the siblings, you'd think the siblings would have come in for the same
and
thing.
And how does she get on with the siblings? Like, there's enough of them. So surely she must get on with one or two of them in a way that she can say, geez, Ma's off Ma's off again on one about cars and having a bit of a laugh about it. I mean, it's like very often, as we say, we're only getting one side of the story. But to me, what do you think she should do then? Just do you agree that she should kind of limit exposure to the mother? And
I'd be asking myself, what do I need from my family? Do you know, here's a person, got their own life, made their own decisions, living, we think, independently. But there's a drawback to family. Mm. What do you need from them? Because it doesn't seem to me from this story, you're going to get the hug and, Asher, we trust you, you've made the right decision. You're going to get those little niggles. You're going to get those brittle things. So maybe you just need to go back to a space that's familiar to you on a limited occasion, celebrate those family things, have the Sunday lunch. I don't know. But I would sit down and think to myself, what is it that I need from my mum? What is it I need from my siblings? And then have
she
a good thing.
Doesn't need,
am I going to get it?
I mean, it's one of the things that kind of happens automatically as you get old. You don't need either their permission or approval all the time to do anything.
Yeah, she's a grown-up.
You go and you paddle your own canoe. It's something from the other side, as one of those older parents, Irish mammies you referred to a minute ago, is that I'm always reminding myself, if they don't ask me for my opinion, I don't generally give it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's wise, but I would very respectfully suggest that wouldn't necessarily be the norm.
Would it not? Yeah.
No, but if you say,
because I think it's lazy as well, though, Sean. It's much easier.
There's a default response from a parent to worry.
Yeah.
So
the
child comes home and I'd say, child, this is an adult in their mid-30s, says, I'm giving up my job that I've had for 10 years.
Yeah.
Your first question is, why? What are you going to do now? How are you going to pay your rent? So, maybe that's what she, because it sounds a little bit to me like what this person wanted her mother to react like a friend, not like a mother.
Yeah.
And would she not know her at this? She's known her all her life.
Exactly, yeah. So why is she surprised?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for her, though, because I think,
I can relate very much to that. I did this very thing. I quit a 20-year job, good, steady, pensionable job. And look, my family had never interfered in my decisions, generally supportive, more on the friendly side than the controlling or interfering side. I went for a pint with my father recently and he said to me, do you know what? I worried sick for that year when you weren't. Yeah. I worried about you. Would you make ends meet? Would you ever get back in the saddle again? Yeah. What were you going to do? So I think we have to recognise some of this could come from a place of worry.
But I think there is a difference between, because what I said a minute ago about not, if you're not asked for your opinion, generally don't give it.
Keep it yourself.
But that doesn't stop you worrying. As a parent, you'll always worry until the day probably you shuffle off. You'll be worried about what they're doing and what they're up to and decisions they make.
A lot of people saying she should go to a therapist.
Yeah, I mean,
be able to deal with that, you know, because it shouldn't bother that. Well, I suppose that was always going to bother you. Bad news for your poor 35-year-old. I'm 70 and in the same situation. My advice is what I was given at her age. Maybe go abroad. I didn't leave and I regret it.
Oh, gosh. That's a fairly major.
Yeah. She needs to listen to or read The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. This book freed me from other people's nonsense. Someone else says, stop asking for opinions. Stop sharing information. Be your own confidant.
Yes, exactly.
Stop outsourcing your power. If you're not going for counselling, start it now. Also read Healing the Adult Children of Narcissists by, we don't know if the woman's a narcissist. I found out who the favourite sibling was when my mother gave me invitations to post for my twin surprise birthday party.
That took me a minute. That's it.
Yeah. So the twin was having a birthday. Oh, gosh. I lie constantly to my mother about things I'm doing in my life because she's so judgmental. It's a habit that has become the norm. The problem is she's too curious and will ask more questions about the situation, leading me to tell even more lies. This, as you can imagine, leads to some unbelievable stories I have to stick by just so I'm not caught out. The only upside is myself and my sister have a great laugh about the stories I've told, and it usually makes really funny memories for us. By the way, I'm 55, which I know is odd, but it's just become normal now to do this.
You see, I think that's healthy. I think the idea of you, that this woman and at least one or two of her siblings can have a laugh about the ma's overreaction to stuff.
Yes.
Like, you know, oh, the car, you shouldn't be getting a car because the roads are very dangerous, blah, blah. Like, you know, would be a good safety valve, you know, and an ability to stand back a little bit from.
Build a little coalition with those siblings.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But even like there is a generational difference in terms of people will change jobs, through the course of their life. And the mother probably wouldn't have grown up in that environment as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to the stable, pensionable job.
It's very important.
You know. Have you a house?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For years, I worked as a freelance journalist and I'd go home to my mother. Now, I could have come home to my mother and said, I've cured cancer. They're going to give me the Nobel Prize next Thursday. And my mother would still sigh and go, but you have a job.
Yeah.
Right. It's rare enough obviously, the whole point of this segment is to try and solve your problems or give you some advice to help solve your problems. But we've actually caused one. So we're going to, this is to try and repair the damage we've done. This texter says, your show has gotten me into a seriously annoying situation with my wife. I heard a piece on the show a few weeks ago about a speed dating thing in France and how they would ask each other their biggest sexual fantasies. That night I went home and asked my wife what her biggest sexual fantasy was. I had a fantasy of my own in my head. So I figured if I did hers, then she'd probably reciprocate. I pushed her and pushed her to reveal hers. She warned me that I wouldn't like it. And now I feel sick. It turns out her biggest sexual fantasy is to have sex with my best friend. He's very good looking. And to be honest, I doubt he'd go for it anyway, but I just can't get it out of my head. I'm so angry at her. And I know I can't be because I asked her to reveal it. Now, every time we have sex, I keep thinking she's thinking about my friend. It also taking a toll on me and my mate's relationship. It was fairly frosty with him when we met for pints on Saturday night. I just couldn't help it. Where do I go from here? Not for pints with your friend, it would say. No. Okay, Tom.
The things this show does to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is something we're going to have to fix as opposed to avoid. First things first, don't ask a question where there's a possibility you might not like the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think this is a good question to ask in a relationship.
Ooh.
But I think...
Do you want to shag my best friend? I don't think that's a wise one to ask at all.
That wasn't
really
the question. The question was, what's your biggest sexual fantasy? I think these are the kind of conversations that you ideally should have early in a relationship. And I think actually looking at the way that gay dating and hookups go these times, particularly starting on the apps with Grindr and what have you, you're actually having these conversations early. You know, pretty soon into hooking, connecting with somebody, the question, what are you into? What do you like? What are your kinks? What are your fetishes? What are your fantasies? You actually deal with that quite early on. And then you can accept it and move on. Here's a situation with somebody who's in a relationship, we presume, for quite a long time.
Yeah.
They've asked the question. She gave an answer. First things first, it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. We don't know what it means. We don't know what exactly she fantasizes about. Doesn't mean she's going to do it. Doesn't mean the best friend is thinking about it either. Doesn't mean necessarily that this lad should be imagining it. Maybe he can imagine it. Maybe he could add a bit of spice to their relationship. Mm. Maybe he should try it. Maybe he'll make efforts to match up to or compete with or persuade.
I think he was more in the area of Randy Plummer kind of stuff than here's me mate.
What I don't like and what I'd say as well is if you're going to ask somebody something very, very sensitive like this, potentially very emotional, potentially tapping into something, offer your own first. Do you know, I didn't like the kind of I pressed and pressed and pressed.
Mm.
Okay. If you're going to do it, say, you know, I'd be really interested in knowing what your sexual fantasy is. I'll show you mine first.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. When I read this again, one of the things that jumped out was where he said, when he asked his wife what her biggest sexual fantasy was, I had a fantasy in my own head. So I figured if I did hers, she'd do mine.
Yeah.
That's not really what sexual fantasy is actually about. Sure, it's not. Sexual fantasy is best left in the realm of fantasy. Like, it's the idea of it that provides the titillation and the, you know, the extra whatever to whatever's going on in the bedroom. But in most cases, I think most people wouldn't actually go through with it. That's why it's a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his first issue. Do you know, he and his motive was, if you tell me, then I'll tell you and then I'll do yours and you'll do mine and we'll all live happily ever after. And it all came unstuck rather dramatically. And as you said, Tom, like, I mean, you know, it's a perfect example of don't ask a question if you're not prepared to like listen to the answer.
Yeah.
And she did warn him. But again, as I say, you know, a fantasy is just that. If the best friend up the road or wherever he is decided, yeah, great, I'm up for that, and arrived at her front door tomorrow, she probably wouldn't do it anyway.
Mm.
So he's only himself to blame. It's very hard now to have any sympathy for him. But now he knows this, and I don't know how the genie's out of the bottle. I don't know how to put it back in. But he should stop being mean to his mate, who has no idea what's going on.
No, not at all.
Or why it suddenly got very icy.
Handsome bastard.
Yeah,
handsome,
exactly. Exactly. And I mean,
the thing is, though, if she, because you know the way, like, and this is quite normal for couples.
Yes.
That you know, one half of the couple might. Yeah. God, I love blah blah.
Yeah,
you know, and will drool over them, but they're at a distance, so that's okay. But now this guy lives down the street, I suppose that the proximity.
It's
makes
very
it more
unusual,
difficult.
Though, if the wife does have serious hots for the best friend, thinks he's really attractive, right?
Yeah.
That there hasn't been any like even low level flirting going on.
Yeah,
because that's kind of that's very hard not to do if you really do find somebody very attractive, even if you're married.
I don't know, Barbara. There's no suggestion even in there that she's particularly attracted to the mate. The fantasy is about having sex with the mate.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
It's a little bit naughty. I don't know. Is there a slight?
I hear he's a good looking lad.
Yeah,
he's a good looking lad.
I don't know. So it's the fantasy.
Maybe he's really ugly. That could be the thing. He could be a big brute of a thing, and she likes that. Yeah,
see.
Big hairy, sweaty sort of fella.
Oh,
you know,
God, Sean, stop.
That's a drool over
any woman wants a big, sweaty, smelly, drooling fella.
I don't know. It's a fantasy.
Yeah, okay.
They're not going to be sharing them with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
The advice we're offering, obviously, is
like.
We actually haven't given any advice.
There's no advice.
Okay, let's aim for a bit of advice. We have given him a good one. Don't take it out on your poor mate.
Yeah.
He did nothing.
And don't take it out on your wife either. You asked and you insisted she share. And then she did. So, you know, he's got to come to grips with this himself in his own head.
Well, I think he's got to share now too.
What?
He's asked her. I think they need to have a conversation about their sexual fantasies.
But I think they did. Do you want to know what his is?
Well, I do want to know what his is too.
Yeah.
But I get the sense she wants to know too. She dropped the clanger. Everything stopped dead. He started freezing the mate out. He can't stop thinking about them together. Whereas this could have turned into quite a hot, spicy conversation. They could have learned things about each other.
I love
they could have
optimism.
Then brought that into the bedroom.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he's got the spectre now of his best friend literally in the bed with them every time.
Yeah.
And that's his own fault. And I don't know what he's going to do about that. But, like,
but even in the most honest, open relationship, sexual relationship, Do we always know what our partner is thinking about?
Thanks be to God.
Who they might be fantasizing about.
Exactly.
Everything might be going well, but they could have a different mental image.
And it's all going well because of the mental image.
There's a body of belief here that she was just taking the mickey because he pushed. So she gave him an answer he doesn't like to shut him up.
Really?
Maybe she has none.
Maybe she doesn't know what. Oh, no sexual fantasy.
She actually doesn't have one. Oh, right. The next time those three are out, it's going to be so... But the poor friend. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah. Well, maybe he should share with the friend.
Yeah. No good can ever come from that. No woman would be comfortable with your man saying he wanted to shag the friend. Yeah. The guy asked the wrong question. He should have asked, what's your favourite sexual fantasy with me? They've probably done all those.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Yeah. But if he goes back to her and... because. It's a bit odd. Now, he did push and she did answer the question. But even at that, she must have known, pulling that trigger, the effect it would have upon him. Because it's his best friend.
Yeah, but he was annoying her because he kept saying, well, tell me. And she goes, you're not going to like it if I tell you. He should have then said, okay, fine.
That's true. But that's but it's almost like a friendship ending, a potentially friendship ending.
No, it's not. For God's sake, no, it's not. Do you know, I'd say if couples were honest, we all know people that, you know, in our world, whether it's the fella down the road or it's your best friend or it's some, I don't know, whoever, that you find really attractive.
Right.
And that you would, you know, if the opportunity arose and it didn't mean being unfaithful and it wasn't going to hurt anybody. But most of us don't do that because it would hurt somebody and it would be being unfaithful. And that's what I mean. It's a fantasy. She would probably never do it. If your man, the best friend, arrived naked at her door tomorrow, all gung-ho, she probably wouldn't do it.
Probably.
Men would. She wouldn't.
Probably. Probably isn't much of a comfort, really.
I'm trying to give him some kind of comfort.
Yeah.
Good luck, is what I'll say, really.
Yeah. I've been with my girlfriend for 6 years. Overall, our relationship is solid. My only issue is that she and her dad are extremely close, which I respect in many ways, but it's starting to feel like there are no boundaries. I know she tells him everything, and I mean everything. Details about our arguments, personal issues I've shared with her in confidence, like my salary and bonuses, and even things I consider private between a couple. Her father would never in a million years repeat anything to me or even indicate that he knows, but it still makes me uncomfortable knowing that her dad is aware of aspects of my life and our relationship that I would never agree to share. I don't want to come across as controlling or try to damage their bond because I know how important he is to her, but at the same time, I feel like our relationship isn't fully ours. It's like there's always a third person in the background. So similar to the previous question. Mm. I've tried bringing it up gently, but she brushes it off and says, that's just how we are. My dad's my best friend. I understand that, but I can't shake the feeling that my privacy isn't being respected. She doesn't seem to recognise her behaviour at all. If anything, she frames everything as, his fault or laughs it off. Right, I think that's the end of that question. Oh, sorry. Am I being unreasonable? If not, how do I address this without making her feel like I'm asking her to choose between me and her father?
Oh, please. All women, in my experience, have a best friend. And whether that's their ma, or in this case, their da, or the best friend, we all have a best friend. And we all share, in a way that men don't, with our best friends. And that's because we live in a patriarchy. So it's actually his fault. Do you know what I mean?
The fathers or the boyfriend?
No, the boyfriends.
Yeah, the boyfriend.
His fault. We need the support group of our best friends in order to deal with the stuff that we have to deal with.
But she's starting to remember the patriarchy to deal with the patriarchy.
She is,
this makes no sense at all.
Yeah, no, but it's just where she's chosen to have the best person to talk to and share things with.
Okay.
But seriously, like saying there's three of them in the relationship, like there's not three of them in the relationship. No. Like she tells her dad things. As far, and even he kind of said it, the dad doesn't go back to him and say, oh, here, I heard about this or that or the other. So the dad is like a safe place for her to share stuff in her life. And you know what? She's probably not sharing exactly the things that he thinks she's sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the only thing I would say to him is, if there is something really confidential, like your sexual fantasy,
for
that
instance,
you don't want your dad, the dad to know about, then you can prove, you know, you can add that. Look, I'm going to tell you something, but I prefer now if you didn't tell your dad. And I would imagine she will probably respect that. But in general terms, we all need to, what's the word I'm looking for? Verbally vomit over people at times and, you know, let things go so that we can deal with them.
And look, maybe chill on the whole privacy notion. Like you say, not exactly getting it. Salary and bonuses, like, come, is it the 7th of June? European Pay Transparency Directive. Everybody will know what you're earning. Very anyway. Clever. It won't be that secret. Your internet browsing history, like Google knows everything. Yeah. The bank knows every time you go to the pub or, you know, buy something in the shop.
Yeah.
Essentially, if it's something truly intimate, like you say, sexual fantasy, you don't particularly want your partner to be going to their dad and going, yo, won't believe you. What you suggested in bed the other
night.
And if nothing is coming of it, there's nothing to fear.
Yeah. I agree. I absolutely agree.
Is it just because it's the father? If the same situation were...
It's the old patriarchy thing again. It's the ego thing.
No, weirdly enough, I can just get a sense that if she was confiding everything in her mother...
It would be okay.
It would be okay somehow.
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't think of that. It's because he's a guy.
He's a man. Slightly threatening. What's he going to tell him? Or is he going to see me as less than because he's a man?
Oh, God. A kind of competition thing.
Is there a touch of emasculation here?
Like gorillas.
Yeah, could be, yeah. Nick, like he came home from work and he wept, because... And does she run off and tell this to the father? And then does he...
But the father's not coming back and giving him any grief.
But he thinks he knows.
It's all going on in his head.
None
of it is real. And, you know, she could have a best friend who, you know, and they do exist, who could be like posting something on social media. It'd be a leaky bucket all over the place. But it doesn't sound like the dad is. Yeah. So I just think he needs some reassurance. And just like, I wouldn't make a big deal of it. Her relationship with the dad is important to her, and I wouldn't go anywhere near saying I prefer if you didn't talk to your dad about stuff I've told you. If there's something specific that he wants, you know, that he can say, I don't really want you to share this with your dad. But I think other than that, he has to accept that they are very close and that they share a lot. And that's not to do with him.
One texter suggests the lad is afraid the father will think he's not good enough for her. Could be that. If the girlfriend isn't okay with the boyfriend's boundaries, I'd stop sharing with her. It's perfectly reasonable for the boyfriend to be uncomfortable with it.
I really don't think it is. Yeah. And I wouldn't stop. You know, I mean, obviously the basis of a relationship is communication and sharing. So to stop that would damage their relationship, which I think it's
vitally important he keeps sharing. But I think something everybody going into a relationship or a marriage like this has to remember: the person has relationships with other people for longer before you, which are deeper. Family, friends, networks. Don't work.
Don't get in the middle of the family. Don't get in the way of that. That's really bad news. Yeah, really bad indeed. News.
And just going back to the sexual fantasy question.
Oh, yeah, great.
Somebody's come up with a different angle. Oh, maybe the real issue is that sleeping with the best friend is his fantasy and now she's ruined it.
You should have picked up on that.
Hit the nail on the head. Wow. Well, Tom, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.